sit next to the guy. Wait. Anywhere that's open.
So I'm going to start by getting my props out. So, this week's Torah portion. If we were to look at the actual scroll, we would be reading Ele Ha Devarim. So that's Deuteronomy. Asher Deber Moshe El Kol Israel. Which we would translate. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel. Okay? These are the words. And when he's speaking, Moses' goal here is to actually teach them. See, what's intriguing about Devarim from all the other books, Genesis, we see sort of Yahweh evolving. Not only creation, but his people. From Exodus through Numbers is one long story. Devarim is a master teacher going, you know what? They're about to go into the land. There are some things I have to review with them. It's said that, we'll see today, that the first few words a teacher says, we remember. And the last few words a teacher says, we remember. The middle part, not so well. Well, Devarim are Moses' last words. They are his last words. And as a teacher, through Yahweh, he's trying to put them together to prepare the people for the journey they have to take. It's not accidental that while we come to this portion right now and they're getting ready to go on this journey into the land, that we ourselves are getting ready to go into the journey into Yahweh's presence. When we cross over, and I say this every year, when we cross over into Deuteronomy, it's like crossing the Jordan. It should be a physical sign to us saying, you know what? It's now time to prepare my spirit because I am making a journey to meet with the King and God of the universe. But this journey, just like this week's Torah portion, is not one that's going to be easy. It's more similar to the yellow brick road. There will be creatures along the way. There will be trials and tribulation. It'll be spiritual warfare. I'm not saying what it's going to be, but I can almost promise you it's going to be. To what degree and how hard it's going to be, only he knows. But I know it's going to happen. We look through Scripture, we find every time we have a set of high holy days coming, that everything just goes bananas, goes crazy, falls apart. We have to prepare for that, and that's what Moses is doing this week. So, what do we need to know for our journey? And there are a lesson here that we can hold on to that will help us. So, we're going to look at Deuteronomy, chapter 1, starting with verses 3 through 4. And it says this. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that Yahweh had given him as a commandment to them. After he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtoreth and Edrei. Now, my focus here is it's after he's killed Sihon, king of the Amorites. Hold on to that. Okay? Hold on to that idea. This is king of the Amorites. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. On this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, this Torah, saying, Yahweh our Elohim spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough on this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites and to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and the lowland, in the south and to the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates. Verse 8, see, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and to their descendants after them. So Yahweh swore, or he made a vow, a promise. 1:10 of Deuteronomy. Yahweh, your Elohim, has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of heaven in the multitude. Now these are all meant to be clues. Okay? Clues. The Amorites and the Canaanites. Yahweh made a promise or a vow to Abraham. Right? So, explain the Torah. That's what Moses was going to do. The question I had was, what is he teaching? And there's a lot, but there's a main point in these first few verses. Take the journey into the land. Our whole life, in summary, is a journey. And that journey is learning to follow him. But there are always journeys to come back to Jerusalem. Twice a year you'd have to come back to Jerusalem. You're like, twice a year? I thought there were three feasts. Yes, but you have one feast where you're going at unleavened bread, and that led to going at Shavuot. If you live far away, you probably didn't go at unleavened bread, go home and come back for Shavuot for those 50 days. So there was the two seasons a year you'd make your way to Jerusalem. They were supposed to destroy the Amorites and the Canaanites and the other peoples in the land. Yahweh swore to give the land to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you hold on to all that, Moses is trying to give them a lesson. A lesson that he learned in regard to writing the book of Genesis. Okay? Yahweh has made you like the stars in the sky. Now, my mind started racing because I go, you know what? I remember something in Genesis about the Amorites and the Canaanites. I remember something in Genesis about a journey. And I remember something about Yahweh making a promise. And that promise dealt with the stars in the sky. So whatever Moses is trying to get at, all of these are clues to lead us there. And that chapter is Genesis 15. So we'll start with Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. So what's the first lesson Moses is trying to get across to them? The same lesson Yahweh gave Abram. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. Genesis 15, 4 and 5. And behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, this one shall be not your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven, and count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. That's the promise he made. See, Abram was concerned because he didn't have an actual heir to pass on. He's like, this word for reward, I'm your great reward, is like a great treasure. Well, your first thought is, what use is a treasure if I can't pass it on to my children? It's like an inheritance. What use is an inheritance if I have no one to give it to? And Yahweh's answer is, don't worry, I'm going to bring it. And he's comparing it to the stars in the sky. And he makes the vow. Genesis 15, 6 through 8. And Abram, he believed in Yahweh. And he accounted it to him for righteousness. Now Yahweh accounted it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am Yahweh who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. Now, this to me blew me away. Now you're sitting back, I'm not blown away here. Well, Imagine what Yahweh's doing is he's saying, I'm going to make your children like the stars. Well, that's great. Abram's got great faith. He just believed. What's intriguing is he's saying, going, you know what? I am the same Yahweh who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you. So what he's saying is, I was the one way back when who actually brought you to this place. So because you believe, I've got other places to take you. But what's intriguing here is he's bringing up a time that Yahweh's already saved him and already delivered him to another place. Okay? Now it's going to be even more significant as we go forward in this chapter. Verse 13 through 14. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them. And they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Verse 15, chapter 15, verse 16. Listen to this. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here for what? The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So in this whole chapter, he's already brought up stars of the sky, Yahweh making a vow to Abram. Now he's bringing up, oh, and by the way, the sin of the Amorites is not completely full yet, so it's not time to do that judgment. And by the way, there's going to be a time in the future that I'm going to save them, your descendants. Remember, the ones that are going to be as much as the stars in the heaven, and I'm going to bring them back from this country, from Egypt. Verses 17 and 18, when it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On that same day, Yahweh made a covenant with Abram. There's your vow. To your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Verse 19 to 21. The land of the Canaanites, the Kerizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Jebusites and the Jebusites. All of those peoples. I've given you their land. Lessons. Hold on to these lessons. Do not be afraid. Yahweh is our everything. For him to say that he is our shield and our great reward, he's saying, I'm your protector and I am the treasure that you're carrying. That basically takes care of everything. Anything you treasure, Yahweh, he is your great treasure. But he also is your great defense. Descendants are like the stars. Now this is interesting because when he uses this metaphor, it actually has layers to it. See, first of all, to say that his descendants are like the stars, that means that they're going to be light, lights in the darkness. And we're called to be that. By faith, if we are children of Abraham, we are called to be lights in the darkness. And what's intriguing about the stars is they've been used over and over as a guide, a map in the sky for people to actually find their way long before there was GPS and maps. So you as stars in the sky are actually meant to be guides to the great eternal light, which is Yahweh. But that's not it. We're also meant by the numbers. Look at how many stars. Now, you know what? When we go out there, there doesn't seem like that many stars. But we're somewhat trapped within the world we live where light is all over us. Thus, because we live in an area full of light, we are not able to see all the stars that exist. Not able to see what Abram saw. So just by pure numbers, and that shows Yahweh's strength, that he's able to save that many people from so many different cultures and places. But you know what? It also talks about a future, because you know what? Yahweh makes a promise. Just like the sun and the moon and the stars will be around until the end, so my people will be around. So he makes this one simple promise. They'll be like the stars, had multiple layers of meaning. Of his faithfulness in guiding us. Abram did one thing very important. He believed what Yahweh said. He believed it, even though he was already moving into his 80s and 90s, even though his wife was barren, even though for 90-some years, well, I'm going to back up, for we'll say 60-some years, he may have been trying to have a child and not had a child. After 60-some years, he completely believed that Yahweh would somehow miraculously give him a child. I, Yahweh, brought you out of Ur to give you this land. What's intriguing is that he brings up Egypt. How many generations does it take for the people to leave Egypt and get into land? Two. How many generations does it take to get Abram out of Ur? Well, Terah, his father, is the one that actually left Ur. Abram did not leave Ur. Terah did. He got as far as Haran, and that's as far as you go, and it was Abram that left there and went into the land. Isn't it interesting that Israel, when it came out of Egypt, went through the two generations the same way? But if Yahweh was faithful to bring him out of Ur, he was going to be faithful again, bringing them out of Egypt. It's one of those, if you've ever seen, like you're watching someone, and you see a picture, like a mirror, there's a mirror image of a person, but in that mirror image is another mirror that shows another mirror image of a person. That's this week's Torah portion. I'm going to bring you out of the land, and I'm going to promise you by showing you that I've already brought you out of the land. I've already done it. Fourth generation, the fullness of the Amorite judgment. I still think that goes back to Exodus 20. I will give my loving kindness to 1,000 generations of those who love me, but only to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Yahweh is taking out the Amorites at the fourth generation of those who hate him. That, by the way, was Sihon. Yahweh made a vow, and he will fulfill it. That's his main promise. That's the main point to get. Does the Torah have anything else to add to this? Well, Moses goes on from here with 1:29-31. Listen to this. See if it doesn't say exactly what we just read in Genesis. He said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. Yahweh Elohim, who goes before you, he will fight for you, according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how Yahweh Elohim carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Isn't it interesting? Yahweh says to Abraham, don't be afraid. I am your shield and your great reward. I will fight for you. Verses 32 and 33. Yet for all that, you did not believe Yahweh Elohim, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go in the fire by day and cloud by night. They did not believe. He's showing a comparison of their belief compared to Abram's. Abram believed. And he was brought into the land. Lessons. Guys, we're all going back into the land. Now, we haven't gotten a flight set up to go to Jerusalem, but there's a Jerusalem in heaven. And Yahweh's there. And in this reality of getting ready for the High Holy Days, yeah, you're going to show up at this building during the High Holy Days. But you know what? If you're still here when service starts, then we've made a mistake, because the goal is that all of our spirits would be having a great reunion in the high heaven in Jerusalem. But to do that, we have to make the pilgrimage to there starting now. Because you know what? There's just like they're preparing for battle, you should be right now preparing for battle. Spiritual warfare, if it hasn't started, will start soon. Remember what Yahweh has done. This is most important. You see, Yahweh made an ark, and he put stuff in the ark so that when people walked around, they go, you know what? What's in that ark? Let me think, oh, you know what? The Ten Commandments. That helps you remember what he did in Egypt. And they brought me to the land. So there were things inside the ark. They were a constant reminder of what he did in the past. Oh, take the manna, put it in a jar, put it in the ark that would be there forever. Why? So we can remember that even if there's a famine today, Yahweh provided manna every single day before now. And while my faith is shaken right now, I can go back and I can look at what he did in the past, and that will actually give me the strength to go forward today when I don't feel like I have the strength to. Aaron's staff. You see, this whole ark is meant to be your mind. And the point being is, any scripture, any miracle, anything he's done in your life are meant to be stored in your mind. And they are a treasure. And they are your treasure and your strength. Because there's going to be seasons when you will be in famine, where you'll be going through trouble, and you will not feel Yahweh, and you'll have to feed on something else at that time. You will have to draw strength from somewhere else. The battles are coming. I promise you. Satan's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. He's meant to steal the words. See, all these words are now in your heart. The only way he can get them is to cause tribulation that you start to not believe the words that are in your heart already. Messiah teaches us in regard to the seeds and a different type of soil. The seed that goes on the path, right? What's the first thing that happens to it? Birds come and steal it because they don't want to give that seed a chance to get its roots in the ground. But you know what? Satan still gets a chance because in trials and tribulations, when we don't believe the words in our heart, we go, you know what? Maybe that miracle really didn't happen. Maybe Yahweh's not faithful. Then he just stole it. But the goal of stealing the words that are in your heart now is to actually kill and destroy you. But he's going to try and come after what? Your joy, your hope. Because that's what the word actually feeds into your life. And you know what? We are really good about giving our joy away really fast. What? The minute we hear the news, our joy went out like the Titanic that hit the iceberg. There went our joy, sunk way faster than anyone expected. Joy should be what sustains us, but we let it go too quickly. Yahweh's plan to let Satan do this is to actually strengthen those words that are already in your heart. To let the famine come so that you go, you know what? I've learned to live off of the words and miracles that happened in the past. So that my joy does become stronger. So my faith and my hope gets so ingrained in me that they are the foundation of my life. Listen to this. Remembering what Yahweh has done gives us the alternative food or energy source to feed off while we go through the battles and while we're waiting on Yahweh. I need you to let that sink in for a minute. You see, when you're going through the battles, Yahweh's not providing the food at that moment. So right now, as you're preparing for your journey, there are certain things you should be thinking about putting in your bag. Not a huge amount, but a little bit of his word. Knowing he's going to continue giving it. Which means continuing to study in it, holding on to it. Something to chew on. Maybe it's time right now in the next few days to pull up verses about his strength. About his love. These are the verses that when you feel hungry, you're going to pull out of your mind and chew on for a while because you're feeling weak. Not physically weak specifically, but spiritually weak. And those verses are meant to help you then prepare and get you through to the moment that, oh, now Yahweh's brought me to this time. Whatever the end of that tunnel is, whatever the end of that tribulation is, brought me here. He fulfilled it. You see, The words and the miracles that have happened in the past are meant to feed us and feed into our joy. They're meant to feed into our faith. And they're meant to feed into our hope. So if we go back to my first question, what do we need to know for our journey? Is that it's going to be a battle. Some of the things he'll point out are inside of us. They won't always feel good, and they will go on longer than we want. But there are preparations we can make now. It doesn't mean that you're somehow, or we somehow, are going to then just be super believer who never falls again. No. It just means we'll go another few steps before we fall. It just means we'll get a little bit closer to Him. And in the end, that's what the whole journey is about. Depending more on Him. Drawing closer to Him. So here's my quick review. In these next few days, start to count the blessings. Those blessings are not only what Yahweh has already miraculously done in your life, but what He's doing in your life. Store them away. Write them down. Put them on a note. Put them somewhere where you can see them. And maybe even start looking up verses about His strength or verses that are important to your heart. Putting up around your house. Because you may fall and then walk out there and there's that one verse you need right now. And you've already put it there, didn't know it. 3 weeks later, you needed it and it touches you and completely fills you with the joy that you lost before that. See, Moses is not going through this review by accident. And nor does Yahweh accidentally put it here for us. It has a purpose. For us to learn to follow Him. Baruch Hashem.